This talk is on the daily disciplines of the spiritual life, because that is the key to any success, whether it be in sports or in homeschooling or in anything, is daily discipline and forming good habits. One definition is that a good habit is hard to form, but makes your life very easy to live with. A bad habit is easy to form, but makes your life very difficult to live with. Think of all people's bad habits, right? They over the long run, they're very destructive, and yet they're very easy to acquire, right? It's very easy to acquire bad habits, and yet good habits are hard to acquire. But once you have them, they're easy to live with. They make your life so much better. Let me just go through a few things that can help in the daily spiritual life, and we'll begin in the morning, of course. And so many of the saints and writers say that the first thing is getting up when you want to get up, right? Already we're not doing too well, I'm sure. But all the spiritual writers say that if you can get up at a set time, it strengthens your will, it's a day perfectly begun, and it can really bring a lot of graces and blessings for the rest of the day. So they say that you should set a time. And of course, this means trying to get to sleep by a certain time the night before, which is often hard as well. But again, remember, these are daily disciplines, and these are things we have to aim for and try to acquire. And so the first one then is trying to have a set time to get up and being faithful to try to get up at that point or as close to that point as we possibly can. And then once we get up, trying to turn our thoughts to God, giving our first thoughts to God. This could be by making the sign of the cross. Even if you're half asleep, I think we can all manage a sign of the cross, right? So we try to make the sign of the cross. We try to say a few prayers, at least just to get us going. Sometimes with the kids, we encourage them to say maybe 3 Hail Marys. That's something that all of us can do. We definitely want to say the morning offering sometime within the first few minutes of our day, offering all of our prayers, works, joys, and sufferings to Jesus through Mary, the morning offering. I call it one of the two bookends of the spiritual life. We need bookends. Imagine a shelf of books without any bookends. It would just fall apart. Our spiritual life, we need these bookends, one in the morning and one at night. Let me just skip down to the night and give you the other bookend. That would be what the saints call the examination of conscience and, of course, the act of contrition at night. So in the morning offering and some morning prayers, and then at night the examination of conscience and act of contrition. Act of contrition is very important because, as you know, we never know if we're going to get up the next day, so we have to, what a better prayer to say to be our last prayer at night. And in fact, oftentimes the saints, looked upon going to sleep as a miniature death, that they would prepare their soul whenever they went to sleep. In fact, a couple of saints even slept in coffins. Did you know that? I wouldn't. I'm sure your husbands really wouldn't go for that. But that some of them did some of these things just to make an impression on their own mind that they should always be ready to be with God, always be ready to meet God. So in the morning, let's go back to the morning. In the morning, we have perhaps the sign of the cross, some prayers, other prayers that people like to say. Even again, you can pass on these ideas to your kids too. The Angel of God prayer is a very good one in the morning. Prayer of St. Francis is very good. Oftentimes with the kids, I encourage them to get holy cards and to put them on their mirror in the bathroom or on the mirror in their room. Because I guarantee they're going to comb their hair, hopefully, right? They're going to comb their hair. And they can be saying some prayers in the morning. And if you use ones in the bathroom, it's good to get those plastic-coated holy cards. They last a lot longer. Otherwise, it gets so... with the kids, these plastic-coated things are great for kids, aren't they? Whether it be the placemats or holy cards or whatever, those are very good. So besides the dedicating our day to God in the morning, starting the day off right, in fact, St. John Vianney did say that God gives you the graces for the day in the morning. When I read that, I was very surprised at that. He says, that's why morning prayer is so important, because God gives you the graces for your day in the morning. The next thing we can do after we start the day off right by some of the morning prayers is daily Mass and daily Holy Communion, if at all possible. Sometimes we can't do it because of the duties of our state and life. But if at all possible, daily Mass and Holy Communion is one of the greatest things we could do. I mean, all the popes and the saints have talked about the Eucharist as really the greatest means to holiness. Pope Pius X talked about that when he encouraged frequent Holy Communion. Daily communion, he said, was one of the greatest things. He called it one of the shortest and quickest ways to become like Christ. Again, this one, as well as our devotion to Our Lady, which we talked about earlier, are two powerful means. Remember when St. John Bosco had his vision of the end times, and he saw the two pillars. He saw the Pope on the ocean trying to lead the church, which was represented by the ship, through the two pillars. You know, it was on the pillars. The Eucharist was on one, and the Blessed Mother was on the other. And since these are the two pillars of our own spiritual life, adoration of Christ in the Blessed Sacrament, Holy Communion, frequent reception, as well as devotion to Our Lady. And it says Don Bosco in his dream saw that once the Pope was able to lead the church through these two pillars, all the waves and the problems in the church just subsided. And this, of course, is what some of our bishops are trying to do. It's what the Holy Father is trying to do, trying to lead the church to these two great pillars, the Eucharist and Our Blessed Mother. So the saints have always said that the greatest thing we could do is daily Mass and Communion. Our Lord even said, give us this day our daily bread. And we can take that to meaning our spiritual bread of the Eucharist. With Holy Communion, we need to try to come maybe a little bit early, if possible, make a little bit of a preparation for Holy Communion, and then spend some time after Mass and Thanksgiving. If we do that, we'll receive even more graces than we would. Because sometimes people come to Mass, you know, day in and day out for years. They feel that they're not getting any closer to God. Sometimes they get discouraged that they're doing this, but they don't feel any closer. What's helped people, at least in my own parish, is, first of all, to read a little bit more about the Eucharist so we don't take our Lord for granted as much. To read more about the Blessed Sacrament and then to spend some time, a little bit of time before Mass, even driving the car to Mass, you can use that as mentally preparing yourself for Holy Communion. In fact, St. Maximilian Kolbe said that when he first got up in the morning, he would spend the first half of his day preparing for Holy Communion, and he spent the last half of his day in Thanksgiving. So from the time he got up, he was always thinking about preparing his soul for Communion. And after he received, he really spent the rest of the day in Thanksgiving as he went about his daily work and his daily activities. You know, it's amazing that so few people throughout the world, even in the United States, I'm not sure how it is out here, so few people out of the whole parish go to daily Mass. It's really a small number when you compare it. I guarantee it, if I stood up on Sunday and said, this week we're going to try something different. At every daily Mass, I'm going to go to the bank in the morning and I'm going to get like $1,020 bills. And whoever comes to daily Mass, when they come up, instead of coming up for communion, I'm just going to peel off a $20 bill and give it to everybody who comes up. Now, of course, it might mean coming to 6:30 Mass, or it might mean coming to 9 o'clock Mass, or whatever. I think the church would be pretty packed, right? People will get up early to get their $20 bill. I can talk to the kids, you know, I'll give you a CD, you know, for every time you come to Mass, or a cassette tape. And the kids would make the effort to do that. You know, and yet, when we compare $20, let's say, to our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, there's no comparison. One is God, one is of infinite value, and one is not very valuable at all when it comes down to it. And yet, if we compared it that way, you know, I just wonder what would happen. I'm curious to see. I should maybe do that in the homily someday. As well as daily Mass and Holy Communion, the popes and the saints have tell us that if we are going to go to Mass and Communion frequently, we should also go to confession on a regular basis, which could mean every 2 weeks, once a month. If every Catholic just went 4 times a year throughout the world, the church would be completely renewed if they went the four seasons, winter, summer, spring, and fall. At least, you know, even if people just went, they used to go, some people go once a year, if they could just move it up to four times a year, it would bring many more graces into their soul. In fact, many people go once a month, which I think is a good amount of time. If you want to gain the plenary indulgence, of course, you have to go every 2 weeks. If you want to try to gain the plenary indulgence each day, you go to Mass. If you go to confession every 2 weeks, you can gain the plenary indulgence every day under the usual conditions, of course. But this would make a tremendous difference in the church if everyone would just go to confession more frequently. And, you know, priests are probably the ones who are the most guilty of not going to confession as much. How often have you seen a priest in a confessional line on Saturday afternoon? Never, of course. Hopefully they have spiritual directors and they go to their priests on a regular basis. Again, that would completely transform the church if every priest went to confession once a month and got spiritual direction once a month. I call it like balancing your spiritual checkbook. If you only balance your checkbook once every 5 years or once every 3 years, what would your husband say about that? They'd say, what a mess, look at all these checks. It is very difficult to, let's say, to only go to confession every couple years because there's so much to think about, and it's actually much easier to get in the habit of going on a more regular basis, at least every few months, every 2 weeks or once a month. Bishop O'Malley had a dilemma when he was in the Virgin Islands. He's a very good bishop, and he was encouraging his people on one particular island to go to confession. And this one man told him, well, Bishop, I'd love to go to confession, but there's no priest on the island. So Bishop says, well, then you have to rent one of those little jet planes and fly to another island and go to confession. And he says, Bishop, I'm not sure about that. You know, to do that, to confess venial sins, is very expensive. And to fly in those little jets to confess mortal sins is very dangerous. So, and all these different places have their problems of their own, right? So, but of course the main idea is that the bishop was encouraging frequent sacrament of penance. I call it giving our soul a shower. In fact, there was a good article called Soul Scrubbing, Confession, giving our soul a good shower. Imagine if you met someone on the street that hadn't, say, bathed or taken a shower in 5 or 10 years, right? And in fact, some of the saints have had, you know, glimpses of what souls, you know, what souls do look like. And they've described the soul in the state of grace as being so radiant, so beautiful, and the soul in the state of mortal sin as really being very hideous and very repelling. And so we want to make sure we always give our soul a good shower in the sacrament of confession. Another daily, that of course is not really a daily discipline, but it's something we should fit into our spiritual life. A daily discipline would be, another one would be the rosary. If possible, to say the rosary each day. And I'll give you a hint that the earlier in the day you say it, the easier it is. By about 11:30 at night, it's pretty tough to say the rosary. The earlier in the day, the better. I call the rosary my New Testament cliff notes. I'm sure some of you, I know none of you use cliff notes in college, right? Maybe your husbands do, but none of you, right? The cliff notes are just give you the gist of the book, right? And I call the rosary my New Testament cliff notes. You just get the gist of the New Testament, the most important events in the life of Christ and our Blessed Mother. I also call it a pocket Bible. You can't always carry your Bible around with you, but you can always carry your rosary. I mean, there's some great rosary stories. One of them occurred on a train about the year 1820, a train from Dijon to Paris. And this old man got on the train, began fingering his rosary beads. A young university student got on the same train, sat down across from him with his big stack of textbooks. And he says, old man, why don't you throw that rosary out the window? Don't you know that science has disproved all those things about God and religion, and that rosary is just superstition. Well, the old man says, well, that's your opinion. And he just kept praying his rosary. Well, by the end of it, the train had come to a stop, and the old man was getting off the train, and he said, here's my business card. Why don't you send me some of your science books that I could become enlightened like you? And the young man said, I'll be glad to do that, old man. And so the old man got off the train. The young guy looked at the card. You know what it says? Dr. Louis Pasteur. Department of Science, Department of Scientific Research, University of Paris. One of the most brilliant scientists in the world was praying his rosary as he took the train to work each day. So I tell the kids, I want you to go home in your refrigerator, open up your refrigerator door, and look, get out your carton of milk and look for the word pasteurize, named after the famous, you know, Catholic scientist, Dr. Louis Pasteur, and I said, and have a glass of Catholic milk. And Dr. Louis Pasteur. And I have a feeling that that young student never sent any of those textbooks to Dr. Pasteur. In fact, there was another story that occurred with a Dr. Ampère, who eventually invented the amplifier, and we get the word amp from him. He was in a church in Paris about 1830, praying his rosary very devoutly. And he did not know, but a young university student came in the back door. He was having a crisis in his faith, but he happened to be walking down the streets of Paris, and he was going to reject the faith. He had become very disillusioned. But he just stopped in to the back of this church and just sat in the back for a few minutes, and he saw Dr. Ampère praying his rosary so devoutly that instantly he was given the gift of faith back, and his faith was reaffirmed. Well, that young man was Frederick Ozanam, who went out and a few years later founded the St. Vincent de Paul Society. And everything hinged on that one man saying that one rosary in that one church. The world has been a better place because of that one man praying one rosary. Because also, Frederick Ozanam, besides founding the St. Vincent de Paul Society, which of course has benefited the whole world, think of all the hundreds and millions of people that have been helped with food and clothing and shelter by the St. Vincent de Paul Society in all these years since he founded it. But the other thing was is that Frank Duff joined the St. Vincent de Paul Society, and from that he formed the Legion of Mary that came out of that as well. So we would not have, most likely, the Legion of Mary or the Vincent de Paul Society if that one professor had not been saying his rosary that one day in church. Louis Kazmierczak is a the man who brings the International Pilgrim Virgin statue around. Have any of you seen that? And Louis Kazmierczak is just a wonderful, wonderful man. He tells a story of when he was in the army, and he had promised the Blessed Mother he would say the rosary every single day. And he had been on a shift where he had been working 36 straight hours without any sleep, and he had just about he went back to his bunk, and he was so tired he just laid on his bed, didn't even get undressed. And as he was falling into a deep sleep, he remembered he hadn't said his rosary. And so his rosary was up on his on the bunk, on the bar, going across the bed, just like this, so it could not come off. It was about maybe 3 or 4 feet above him. And he said, "Bless the Mother, I'm so tired, I can't say my rosary, just can't do it. If this one rosary means so much to you, give me some sign." So he's laying there, his eyes closed. All of a sudden, this rosary begins to unravel. And it drops down, and it falls. It lands on the bed. Well, he says he woke up, and he prayed the most devout rosary he's ever said in his whole life. So try to say it in early in the day as possible. I often compare the rosary to David's sling in the Old Testament. You know, David's sling looked like something very inconspicuous and very simple against Goliath. People were even laughing. How in the world can you defeat Goliath with a little sling? And yet, he did, right? And I would often compare the rosary to that, that no matter what problems people have in their own personal life, in the diocese, in the church, I think the rosary can solve the problem. In fact, some bishops who have come back from their ad limina visits with the Holy Father have, you know, told the Holy Father all the problems in their diocese and everything. And according to the stories, the Pope reaches into his drawer and gives him a rosary and says, "This will solve all your problems in the diocese." I'm sure that they're not always very happy with that answer, right? But actually, one day Pope Pius IX was walking through the Vatican and giving a tour to some of his friends. And they said, "Holy Father, what's the greatest treasure in the Vatican? And is it the Sistine Chapel, you know, the ceiling of Michelangelo?" And the Holy Father said, "Nope, it's not that." And they said, "Well, what is it? It must be the Pietà." At that time, it was worth $14 million. That was back in, like, 1878. And Holy Father said, no, that's not the greatest treasure in the Vatican. And he said, well, then what is? And he pulled out his rosary from his pocket. He said, this is the greatest treasure in the Vatican, you know, the Holy Rosary. So we should try to say it if possible as a family. You know, Father Peyton made that very famous statement, well known. The family that prays together, you know, tends to stay together. And I certainly have seen that to be the case. So another, besides the rosary then, another daily discipline we could mention is called the Liturgy of the Hours, which is what the priests and nuns say, hopefully what the priests and nuns say. And it's the prayers that they say every day, based upon the Psalms and the readings from Scripture. In fact, the Liturgy of the Hours is considered the public prayer of the Church. It's considered even, in a sense, greater than the rosary, because the rosary is a private prayer, a private devotion, whereas the Liturgy of the Hours is a public prayer of the Church. And it's praying the Psalms that Jesus himself prayed, the Psalms that Mary prayed, and the Psalms that Joseph prayed. You think of the same Psalms that go back, you know, thousands and thousands of years are being prayed today by all the priests and nuns throughout the world. And so it's part of the public prayer of the Church where Christ himself prays to his Heavenly Father. So some people have, if they want to improve their prayer life, will undertake saying the Liturgy of the Hours. Maybe just morning prayer and evening prayer, or maybe you can just say night prayer. But of course, there's also office of readings and daytime prayer. And it's something to think about, that if you do want to improve your prayer life, you do want to have a set time for prayer, maybe after you give the kids their beginning lessons, when they're doing their work, you can maybe say the morning prayer after lunch. You know, daytime prayer only takes about 5 minutes. Morning and evening prayer take about 10 minutes. Night prayer takes about 5 minutes. So you might want to consider the Liturgy of the Hours, because it unfortunately is true that I think a lot of priests and religious are neglecting their prayer life. And so we need the lay people to really make up for that and to sort of fill in the gaps. Another daily discipline in the spiritual life, besides these things we mentioned, like daily Mass, Rosary, Liturgy of the Hours, is daily spiritual reading. Daily spiritual reading. And if we could just read even 15 minutes a day would, I'm sure, incredibly change your life. 15 minutes a day would equal about one book a month, which is pretty good. That'd be 12 books a year that you would read. See, the average American only reads actually less than one book a year. Did you know that? According to the studies, the average American reads less than one book a year. 58% of Americans never finish a nonfiction book after leaving school. 58%. I mean, the video stores are filled, right? But the libraries are a little bit emptier. 15 minutes a day would equal about one book a month. In fact, last week in my own parish, I mentioned in the homily, it was a baptism of our Lord, and again, our calling of being baptized to be apostles and to study our faith and to be well-educated in our Catholic faith. I told them that if they just read 15 minutes a day from Scripture, the saints, church history, apologetics, doctrine, that they would be, within a year, within the top 10% of the most educated Catholics in America. Okay? 15 minutes a day. For a couple of reasons. One is that we have very few educated Catholics in America. That's one of the reasons. Plus the fact that 12 books a year is pretty good. Now, if you really want to be incredibly brilliant and educated, I told the people, read an hour a day, in theology, spirituality. That would put you, that's a book a week it would come down to, about one book a week, which would mean 52 books in 1 year, 500 books in 10 years, 500 books in 10 years. So within 1 year, you'd be in the top 3% of the most educated Catholics in the world. Isn't that something? Just by reading 1 hour a day in chosen field. In fact, many of these time management experts say that if you just read an hour a day in your chosen field, within 3 years, you would be a national expert on any topic. If you read about gardening for 1 hour a day, or cooking for 1 hour a day, or archaeology for 1 hour, or brain surgery for 1 hour a day, you'd be a national expert within 3 years, an international expert in five. And people would be flying you all over the world to give talks on gardening or brain surgery or whatever you happen to read. So just think about that, that if at all possible, spiritual reading should be way up there in one of our priorities. And in fact, one thing that could help is, you know, a good calendar, a good time management calendar. Back in Virginia, we got a lot of the priests using the Franklin Planner. Anybody here the Franklin Planner? Okay, it's a very good system of time management. I've given 2 or 3 seminars on time management based on the Franklin method, and you know, setting your goals and your values and what you really, because we all should think about that, is what do we really value in life, and try to determine what our values are in life, the relationship with God, as a spouse, as a parent, as a Catholic, and just go through what you really value in life, your family, your spiritual life, your relationships with your loved ones, and then you, of course, you try to incorporate some of these things into your daily schedule. So that's just something to keep in mind, and so you can all talk to Debbie about that. She has a Franklin Planner. It is very, very helpful. So spiritual reading, even just to put on your daily activity list to read 20 minutes a day, if you get it on your list, it can make a big difference. A lot of you have to-do lists. Make sure that you put some things on there that are maybe not urgent things, but they are very important things, like spiritual reading. Another valuable thing is listening to cassette tapes. This is something that I'm very much a supporter of. I certainly believe it is the greatest educational breakthrough since the invention of the printing press. It's a phenomenal thing. I have about 4,000 cassette tapes in my own personal library on every subject you can imagine, mostly theology, scripture, Mariology, the angels, church history, apologetics. So I have 100 Scott Hahn tapes. I have 140 Father Ken Roberts tapes, 150 Bishop Sheen tapes. Just about any tapes you can imagine, I probably have in my personal cassette library. And people walk into my office and they say, "Father, have you listened to all those tapes?" I say, "No, but I feel smarter just sitting in their presence." Right? Same thing with books. You know, just being in a good library, just you sort of soak it up by osmosis. It's great just to be among all these great books and cassette tapes. In fact, many of these books you might not have the time to read, but you might be able to listen to when you're driving around. I think moms and dads spend a lot of time driving around in the car, right? Make sure you get a cassette tape player in your car. Tell your husband's father said that you have to get a cassette tape player in your car. It makes a big difference. UCLA did a study a couple years ago that said that if you live in a metropolitan area, if you drive the average amount, between 10 and 25,000 miles a year, between 10,000 and 25,000 miles a year, that 1 year of driving in the suburbs is equivalent to 1 year of college education if you listen to cassette tapes. That's not bad. So since you've been out of school, you could have gotten like 5-10 years of more of college education just by listening to cassette tapes in your car. And one cassette tape is equivalent, for example, a 90-minute cassette tape is equivalent to reading 60 pages from a book. One cassette tape. So I myself try to get through at least 1 or 2 tapes a day, which is equivalent of 1 to 2 books a week, which again, 1 or 2 books a week is 50 to 100 books every year. And some of the books on tape are, for example, Ignatius Press, these books on tapes are phenomenal. They now have things like The True Devotion, The Story of St. Teresa Little Flower, The Imitation of Christ, The Love of Eternal Wisdom, and all these great spiritual classics are now on book form, on cassette. So I'd highly, highly recommend them. Yeah, Ignatius Press, in fact, has put out over 300 Lives of the Saints on cassette tape. Over 300. You can get the life of the Curia of Ars or Teresa of Avila. All these are on cassette tape, as well as some really great classics, too, for the kids, the Odyssey and the Iliad and Homer and all these spiritual, cultural classics are available now, too. So I would highly recommend that. So then lastly, under some of these daily disciplines, I'll just review them. Of course, the morning prayers and, of course, evening prayer. daily Mass, communion if possible, a daily rosary, perhaps a liturgy of the hours, spiritual reading, cassette tapes. Another one would be forming good friendships, forming good Catholic friendships. That's what you're doing here. It's one of the best things about something like today is that you get together with other people that believe the same thing you do. That's one of the most important things, that you have support and you have encouragement from people just like yourself, from other mothers going through the exact same thing. These are very, very important. Develop good friendships. Because we're all, like they say, we're all like chameleons. We all become like the people we hang around. And we always change our colors depending on who we're with. So we have to hang around good people. That's one of the tragedies of sending kids to some of these universities or colleges these days, because if they're isolated by themselves, their faith begins to be eroded by the other people they hang around. And so we have to send them to good places like Steubenville or Thomas Aquinas College or Christendom or these small Catholic colleges where you can have good peer pressure, encouraging people to go to daily Mass or to pray, to say the rosary and things like that. So good friendships are again vital to the spiritual life. I'll just point out a couple of the handouts that I brought along with me from Virginia. This is a very good list called A Guide to Spiritual Reading, and has a list of maybe 50 good Catholic books, from like a beginner's list to an intermediate list to an advanced list. And I left them over there. Hopefully there's enough copies for everyone. If not, maybe somebody could, somebody will probably make some extra copies for you sometime. But if you're just looking for, what book should I read? This, of course, has things, books by Bishop Sheen and books about things like The Imitation of Christ and some very good books. If you're looking, where do I start as far as spiritual reading, you might want to consider that list. This one here is called A Spiritual Plan of Life. And this one, of course, is, very valuable because you can add your own things, because this one has things like the morning offering, spiritual reading, monthly confession, working on some dominant defect, examining our conscience, things like daily Mass, daily rosary. You can add your own things to the spiritual plan of life. This handout is very good. It's called Spiritual Aspirations. These are little tiny prayers you can memorize and use throughout the day. Again, this is a good daily discipline, is to memorize some of these. Even something like Jesus, Mary, Joseph, I love you, save souls. Or, with Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on me. Or, my God, I love thee. Or, my Lord and my God. Little tiny prayers that you can use throughout the day. Because we want to do what St. Paul says, pray without ceasing, sort of sprinkle these prayers throughout our day. I call them spiritual snacks that you can munch on throughout the day to keep your soul nourished. Because all the saints, people like St. John Chrysostom and St. Augustine say that what food is to the body, prayer is to the soul. And Chrysostom says that if you don't nourish your soul with prayer, you will die spiritually. And we need to, a good question I ask people on retreat is, if you only ate as much as you prayed, how hungry would you be? Isn't that good? If you're only allowed to eat to the exact amount that you prayed throughout the day, how hungry would you be? So it is true that we should have these snacks, but of course we should have a good spiritual breakfast in the morning, which is our morning prayers, and a good spiritual dinner, which is our evening prayers. And in fact, one other thing about daily Mass I just remembered, another valuable thing about daily Mass besides the Eucharist, receiving Christ every day, which is the greatest reason to go, is that you get to learn the Bible incredibly well. Did you know that if you went to daily Mass for a year, you've heard almost the entire Bible being read to you? 90 to 95% of the Bible is read to you on a yearly cycle if you go to daily Mass. Because think about it. You have something from the Old Testament, a psalm, something from the New Testament, of course something from the Gospel. If you can't go to Mass during the day, if you go to Mass on Sundays, you'll get the whole Bible being read to you in a three-year cycle. So let's say you're 30 years old, you've already heard the Bible being read to you 10 times. Isn't that something? See, Catholics should know the Bible better than any other religion. We really should, because not only daily Mass, but even Sunday Mass. And one thing that does help, again, another discipline would be perhaps reading the readings the night before. It's good spiritual reading to read the Gospel and the readings for the daily Mass the night before. Maybe get yourself a daily missal and read the next day's readings. Because that way, when you hear the readings and the homily, you're already familiar with them and you can learn the Scripture all the better. Another handout I brought is on prayer, called Prayer, the Stairway to Heaven. It talks about the main purposes of prayer: to adore God, to thank God, to offer Him reparation, and to have petition. It talks about the seven qualities of prayer: praying with devotion, praying with fervor, praying with perseverance. You don't have to copy these down. You can just get them up there. Praying with humility, attention, faith, and praying, of course, in accordance with the will of God. So this one on prayer is very valuable. This one we put together on why pray the rosary every day. And it lists, you know, reasons why we should pray the rosary every day, quotations from the saints. Even like Pius X said, if there were 1 million families every day praying the rosary, the entire world would be saved. If you only had 1 million families praying the rosary every day, but Pius X says that the world would be saved. And then this one's called a periodical review. Sometimes people are looking for, you know, which magazines, which Catholic periodicals should I subscribe to? Here's a listing of about 30 or 40 good ones that are excellent, good Catholic magazines, either on apologetics or homeschooling or the Blessed Mother, prayer, scripture. A lot of good ones there. I think I brought about 100 of these, so there should be enough for everyone. I also want to mention, this is a little booklet by Maria Montessori on teaching religion to young children. Some of you are familiar with Maria Montessori, and she was given many awards by the popes back in Pius X, Pius XI, you know, for the work she did in Catholic education. So her works are very valuable to read. And any of her books, if you can find any of them in used bookstores, like The Secret of Childhood, The Child in the Family, The Child in the Church, some excellent books on parenting. And just mention one other thing. This is the, anybody familiar with the Schoenstatt movement? Schoenstatt? Okay, some of you? This is something you might want to think about. There's a shrine over in Germany, and Father Kentenich, the founder, is up for beatification. Father Kentenich really started this Marian shrine, which has brought about many conversions and returns to the sacraments and healings. And they've made miniature shrines that travel around to different families. And so because people can't always go over to Germany, but they can have the shrine come to your home. In my own parish, we have about 70 families that are involved in this. We have seven groups of 10 families each, and we call it the Rosary. It's called the Rosary Campaign. And every family has a little shrine that comes to their house 3 days during the course of the month. And then it's their job just to drop it off at the next family. So it works well with homeschooling families, like in Manassas, it's going very well, and other places. And all you need is about 10 families, and you just take the shrine, and it's an opportunity to have the families pray together, especially because sometimes you need something like that to get the family to pray together. If, you know, if the special shrine comes in, okay, this is our 3 days, let's say the rosary every night. So you might want to pick up some literature on that and learn a little bit more about that beautiful movement called the Schoenstatt movement. So I think I'll end there, and we'll take a break, and then we'll have our last talk after that.